You're leaving a restaurant and a homeless man approaches you and asks you for money. But instead of giving him money, you give him the boxed food that was left over from your meal that you didn't quite finish. You leave feeling like you've done a good thing. But have you actually done a good thing? This is The Awkward Apocalypse, a deconstruction podcast that examines Christian culture against the authority of Scripture. I'm Corey Kuhn, and today I'd like to talk about me-first Christianity.
This is the catchy theme song. This is the catchy theme song.
A lot of deconstruction is based on going back to Scripture, looking at Jesus, and then asking the question, is the Christianity that Jesus was teaching, is the Christianity that his disciples were living out in the New Testament, the same as the Christianity that we see in America? And people tend to characterize people who are deconstructing in different ways and associate different beliefs with them. Sometimes it's legitimate. Sometimes it's really a misrepresentation of what people who are deconstructing actually believe. But I would say that the basis for deconstruction really is going back to Scripture and realizing there are a lot of inconsistencies with what's taught in the Bible and what American Christians have kind of accepted as this is what Christianity is all about. This is what being a Christian is all about. And this is how you live as a Christian. And so a lot of deconstruction is just that. It's comparing American Christianity to the Bible. Now, for different people, it will mean different things, but for me, that's really what deconstruction is about. That's why the tagline for my podcast is Examining Christian Culture Against the Authority of Scripture, because that's deconstruction to me. It's looking at American Christianity and then comparing it to Scripture. And so I want to do like a little series on the teachings of Jesus and how we kind of don't take them seriously. That's why I'm calling it LOL Jesus. It's just kind of like, ha, you're not serious, Jesus. Because in all honesty, I think that's kind of our approach to the teachings of Jesus. Like a lot of the things he taught, our effort when we're preaching sermons on them or teaching lessons on them or doing devotions, like a lot of our effort goes to trying to explain how Jesus didn't quite mean what it sounds like he was saying. And so I want to take a closer look at some of these teachings and talk about how we as Christians have kind of ignored Jesus. And some guy said this one time, I cannot for the life of me find this quote. And so I'm going to quote this, but I have no idea who said it. If no one said it and I just like dream that, then I guess I'm saying it now. The quote is basically that the early church took the teachings of Jesus seriously. But after the early church, basically what Christians have done is they've marched and paraded around the Sermon on the Mount and not taken it seriously. And I remember hearing that quote, and that's really stuck with me ever since I heard it because it's so true in a lot of ways. And look, a lot of people tend to romanticize the early church as if it was like perfect. And if we ever want to be the ideal church, we have to go back to the early church. And I don't think that's entirely true, obviously. I don't think the early church was perfect, but I do think there was something there. There's something there that we really do lack in today's church. Because I think what you see when you look back at the early church is you see people who sacrificially gave in a way that Christians today really just don't anymore. For example, in that society, the way that people had abortions a lot of times was they would just abandon babies. They would have babies, and if it was like a girl or if it was like small or they didn't like it, they would leave it in the road. And then Christians would actually go around and pick up these babies and then raise them as their own. And I think that level of self-sacrifice is not as present in the church today because I think we've grown comfortable in our lifestyles and I don't see that same level of giving. A lot of what Christianity is today is a type of Christianity that just doesn't really take the teachings of Jesus seriously, at least all of his teachings. Because there are some teachings of Jesus, like forgiveness, that everybody knows and everybody understands that's part of the Christian ethic. But then there are other teachings of Jesus, specifically in the Sermon on the Mount, and the one I want to look at today, which is about laying up treasures on earth rather than heaven, that we just don't seem to take very seriously. It's almost like we forget it's there, and then when we teach on it, we kind of like try to undo it so that we don't have to change anything. And I would say that just kind of like as a rule, whenever you approach the teachings of Jesus, prepare yourself to be uncomfortable because that is in a lot of ways is what Jesus's teachings do. Like, I don't think it's possible to honestly approach the life and the teachings of Jesus and leave being like, yeah, I pretty much follow that. Like, I'm good. I don't really feel convicted. I don't really feel uncomfortable in any way. Like, you should feel uncomfortable. I mean, Jesus made a lot of people uncomfortable. He confused a lot of people. In fact, I think if you look at the ministry of Jesus, the way that I would actually summarize the ministry of Jesus, at least from the perspective of those he was ministering to, is I would say there was confusion and disappointment. And I think that's a lesson for us, that as we approach Jesus, it's important to understand that, number one, he's probably going to disappoint you. And he's probably also going to confuse you, because a lot of his teachings were kind of like convoluted and difficult to decipher. Like, he wasn't always straightforward. In fact, he usually wasn't. And I would say that as you approach the person of Jesus, be prepared to be disappointed, because it seems like everyone wants to take Jesus and make him the person that they want him to be. And I know I'm not saying anything profound there. Like, everybody says that. We all make Jesus in our own image. But even though we all seem to understand this, we all do it. And the deconstruction world is no exception to this. Like, deconstruction Jesus, when you compare him to the Jesus of Scripture, is not the same Jesus. I mean, the deconstruction Jesus tends to omit passages about wrath, hell. I mean, Jesus said some pretty gnarly stuff. I mean, he talked about like slaughtering people before him. He talked about throwing people in a river with a big cement millstone tied around their neck. I mean, he talked about like violent things. And those parts of Jesus in deconstruction circles tend to be omitted. And so it is really difficult to approach Jesus honestly, because when you approach him honestly, he confuses you and he disappoints you. He just doesn't live up to anyone's expectation for what he should be like. And so I think that if you're looking at Jesus and it makes you uncomfortable and you're like, oh man, I have to change things. Like, if I'm honest, if I'm trying to follow Jesus, that means I'm going to have to change things. And it's things that I don't want to change, because that doesn't fit with my narrative of reality, or that doesn't fit with what I think a good person should be like, or my version of an ideal person should be like. If you're thinking that, then you're probably finding the real Jesus. Because it should make you uncomfortable, it should convict you, and it should put you in a position where you feel like, I have to make some uncomfortable changes in my life. Like, reading the Gospels should be really difficult for you. Reading the Gospels should not just be a source of comfort for you. Like, you should read it, read about Jesus, and then feel conviction and feel this sort of discomfort of like, gosh, I don't live up to that, or I'm not like that. And I think once you begin to feel that, then you are truly getting to know Jesus. So the teaching of Jesus that I particularly want to focus on today is Jesus's teaching on storing up treasures in heaven and not on earth. David Platt, in his book Radical, made the argument that future Christians are going to look back at us, present day Christians, and they're going to judge us for how materialistic and how selfish we were. He was saying basically that the way we look back on Christians from like the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s and judge them for having slaves, and then ask the question, how in the world could you be a Christian and not understand how incredibly immoral it is to own people and force them to work against their will and then treat them harshly? I mean, for us, it's so obvious that that is wrong, and we judge Christians in the past for doing that. But his argument is that in the future, Christians are going to look at us and look at the way that we spent our money, look at the way that we were materialistic and selfish and did not truly care for those around us financially, and they're going to judge us for it. Now, before we go any further, yes, I know that Christians are among the most giving, and yes, I know and understand that a lot of Christians do give a lot, and Christians tend to be like the main donors for nonprofits and ministries and things like that. I know that. I'm not saying that Christians don't give at all. What I'm saying is that Christians tend to give in a way that doesn't really line up with the type of giving and the type of sacrifice and the type of service that Jesus taught. So today, I specifically want to look at Jesus's teaching on laying up treasures in heaven rather than laying up treasures on earth, because in a lot of ways, I would say that our American culture is kind of the opposite of that. Like, our American culture is predicated on security, independence, and has this future orientation of constantly making sure that you have this assurance that you will be comfortable, that you will have money, and that you will be taken care of all the way through life into retirement until you die. And so in a lot of ways, the insurance culture of America, like secure everything you own, protect it, and make sure you're going to have unlimited access to this for as long as you're alive, that kind of culture flies right in the face of Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And this kind of culture that we have in America, this insurance culture, is literally the opposite of that. Insurance allows you to store up and secure treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Like, in a lot of ways, that's kind of part of our culture. And so being part of our culture, it's really easy to miss how opposite it is from the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of Jesus are just so grounded in self-sacrifice, self-denial, and the kind of like reckless abandonment of anything on this earth. I mean, that's really a theme that you find throughout the Sermon on the Mount, is you find Jesus teaching, just let go. Just let go of your anxieties, let go of your worries, let go of your desires to be liked by other people, let go of your grudges, let go of your anger, let go of your lust. I mean, if I could summarize the Sermon on the Mount in one word, like if you told me summarize Jesus's teachings in the Sermon on the Mount in one word, that word would be freedom. Everything Jesus is teaching, I believe, goes back to freedom. In Christ, you are free. If you're a Christian, you are free to lose literally everything you have. You are free to be insulted. You are free to love your enemy. You are free to do everything that the world expects you not to do because you have eternal salvation with Christ, because you are loved by God, and because what you have is more precious than anything you can have on this earth. So you're free. You have nothing to lose. That's why when he teaches on turning the other cheek, basically what he's saying is when someone comes at you insulting you, when someone offends you, just turn the other cheek and let them have at it because they have nothing on you. Like, they can't do anything to you. I'm reminded of that scene in The Dark Knight when Batman is like kind of torturing the Joker, like he's like kicking him around, and the Joker is literally just like hysterically laughing and looking at Batman and saying, you have nothing on me. Like, for me, I feel like that's kind of the position that Christians are in. They're in a position where they can lose everything they have. I'm sorry if you heard that rooster. I feel like I keep apologizing for the noise. It's just, yes, I hear you. Anyways, I feel like that's the position that Christians are in. They're in this position where they say, you have nothing on me. Like, I can lose everything I have. I am completely free. And in this freedom, I find forgiveness. I find eternal joy in this freedom. And because of that eternal joy, I can follow the ethic of Jesus, obviously not perfectly, but I can follow this ethic of Jesus to abandon everything I have, to give to the needy, to forgive those who people would say I should never forgive because I am free. Like, freedom is the underlying value of the Sermon on the Mount. And I think that what American culture does to us is it robs us of that freedom. I mean, it's very common for me to have conversations here with Liberians about going to America. For them, America is heaven. If you make it to America, basically, like, you're set. That's it. You made it. I mean, for them, America is heaven. And for them, it's kind of like they imagine it like the plane lands, and then I guess someone just walks up to you and hands you $100,000, and then they're like, I'll just give you that every day if you want. And you're like, yeah, cool, America. I mean, that's kind of how they envision it. And so the conversations that I have with them a lot of times is America is not as great as you think it is. And yes, there are a lot of job opportunities, there's a lot of money, and there's a lot of comforts. But for them, what they don't understand is that the American culture is very hard to live in for different reasons than Liberian culture is hard to live in. Liberian culture is difficult because there's a lot of physical suffering. There's no healthcare. I mean, you die young. You're risking your life every day, like transporting yourself around on motorbikes, and there's not a lot of food. There's a lot of poverty and suffering. I mean, there's a lot of suffering here. But America has a different type of suffering. And the way I explain it to them is I say that America kind of owns you. Like, the system kind of owns you in America. In Liberia, I tell people that you can own whatever you want, you just have to fight for it. So like, you can own a piece of land, fine, it's yours, but now you gotta fight for it because people are gonna try to take it from you. You can own a phone, but everyone's gonna try to steal it. Like, I don't pay monthly for a phone here. I just have a phone and then I just kind of put minutes on it whenever I wanna use it. And I feel so free doing that because I'm not tied to this like monthly payment that I have to make on a phone. Instead, I just pay for whenever I want to use it. And if I don't want to use it, I just don't use it. You can own things here. You just have to fight for them. But in America, it's very different. You kind of never own anything. Like everything that you have still has payment obligations attached to it. So you can have insurance, but you're never going to be finished paying for insurance. You can have a phone, but you're never going to be finished paying for that phone. Like you are going to be paying monthly for that phone until you die because you can't just like pay enough that the phone company's like, yeah, just use it as much as you want. You're good. You can have a car, but you have to be paying insurance every month. You can have healthcare, but you have to be paying health insurance every month. I mean, it's like in America, there are so many shackles that you're wearing. I mean, that's one of the things that made moving to Africa so hard is because I was in the system. Like I was so in the system with all these like insurance payments and all these monthly things that I was paying for that even still, I'm still remembering like, oh, I'm still paying for that. And then I have to go cancel it. Like, I don't need that anymore. I'm not in America. I don't need to be paying for that. And I mean, if you look at the amount of monthly payments that we have in America, it's actually absurd. Like when I try to explain to the Liberians how much money I pay monthly just for like insurance and utilities and subscriptions. I mean, it is insane how much we pay for on a monthly basis. And that's kind of the culture of America. It's like it owns you. Every time you add a monthly payment to your life, that's like a new shackle. It's like a new handcuff that someone puts on your wrist. And that's kind of how the American system is. It's like you can be comfortable and have a great life as long as you wear all of these shackles and all these handcuffs. As long as you let us tie you down to something, you can be free. And for a lot of people, I think that is a huge burden that causes a lot of stress because we want to have this nice, comfortable life, but it comes at a cost. And that cost is our freedom. I mean, you can't ever not have a job. If you don't have a job, you're going to run behind on all these monthly payments that you're owing. So you have to have a job to continuously pay for all these things. And yes, I know that's the same literally everywhere. Like if you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, you don't have money to buy food. But the American system, the way it's set up is it's set up for you basically to be owned by it. Like it's really hard to escape that system once you're deep within it because there are so many things that are weighing you down. And a lot of Liberians say that about their country. They say you can just be free. And that's kind of true. Like you kind of are free here. There just aren't things that are holding you here and tying you to the system. You just are free to live here. And yeah, there are basic payments you have to make and food you have to buy, but you just don't feel like there's this constant weight, like shackles being put on your wrist every day that are just like holding you down to this American lifestyle. And so in a lot of ways, that's kind of American culture. And that's the opposite of what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching a message of freedom. And in that freedom, you can lose a lot of earthly possessions. But what grounds his message is the freedom that you can lose it and still be okay. And so for me, this is what made living in America very difficult is I try to read this and try to think, okay, how can I apply this to my own life? Like, how can I live in such a way that I don't look at my future and constantly think about, okay, how can I maintain this security and comfort that I have now? Because he's kind of teaching the opposite of that. But at the same time, American culture doesn't really allow you to live like that. Like, if you live like that, you're basically just being stupid. Like, how do you live in America without health insurance? I mean, if I get cancer and I go to the hospital, I could have millions of dollars of medical bills that my family now has to pay. I mean, it's actually stupid not to have health insurance in America. And so this is where Jesus's teachings, a lot of times what we do is we take the teachings of Jesus and then we say, okay, that doesn't work. Like give to the one who begs from you. Okay, what if I gave to literally every person who begged from me? I would have nothing. And part of it is like, I guess that's kind of the point. I mean, that's the freedom that you have is people can beg from you and take everything you have and then you're still okay because you have the joy of knowing Christ. But at the same time, living in Liberia, people beg from me all day. I mean, if I gave to everyone who begged for me, I wouldn't have enough to give to the people who need it. So it's kind of like we're just constantly reading the words of Jesus and being like, okay, he wasn't serious when he said this, or, you know, let's qualify this. Let's explain what he means. And I do that too. Like, that's what I'm showing you right now is I do that too. Because whenever someone begs for me, the first thing I think of is Jesus saying, don't turn away the one who would beg from you. And I think about that. And then whenever I tell them no, they're walking away and I'm like, I just disobeyed Jesus. But at the same time, I'm like, this money is for people who need it. Like this money isn't even for me. And so it's like, I'm rationalizing, I'm justifying it. I'm trying to follow it while not following it. And that's kind of how the American system is. I feel like with this teaching, the basis of this teaching is where your treasure is. Like, is your treasure in your security and your comfort? Are you afraid of losing what you have? Are you afraid of dying? Do you look at your life and say, I just want to protect this and secure this because I will not be okay if I don't have this lifestyle that I'm living? If that's the case, then I believe that's what Jesus is teaching against. And my point is that the American culture that we live in really encourages us to give into that mentality, to give into the mentality of security and insurance and longevity, where Jesus is teaching kind of the opposite of that. He's not teaching us to be stupid, but he's teaching us not to place our hope in security and insurance and things like that. Because yes, maybe we live in America and we feel secure, but as I'm making this episode, there's a lot of financial problems in America. And maybe people are beginning to feel the fragility of the system. Like, maybe the system isn't as secure as it feels. And even the money that you have in the bank account, as inflation goes up, as the economy destabilizes, maybe you realize that that money might not always even have the value that it has now. And so all your investments could potentially go under, and maybe you're not going to have the future that you thought you were going to have. And as you feel that threatening your lifestyle, maybe that's when it's good to turn to Jesus and say, that's not where my treasure is. Jesus taught me to put my treasure elsewhere. That's why he says you cannot serve God and money. So the question we all have to ask ourselves is, which one am I serving, God or money? And now, the reason I asked that question at the beginning of the episode about the homeless man is because I believe that this represents our mentality about what it means to give. I think that this American culture of security has bled over into the church, and it's kind of ingrained itself within our culture in such a way that a lot of us don't realize. I would actually argue that most Christian giving is not truly sacrificial. And the reason I would say that is because we're so dang wealthy. Like, we have so much money and we have so much to give that a lot of times our giving is given in such a way that it's more from excess than necessity. Like, I would say that a lot of Christian giving is kind of like giving a homeless man your leftover food from a restaurant. It's more this approach that says, I have a lot and I'm going to give you what is a lot to you, but it's not a lot to me. Like, when I'm walking on the street here in Liberia, sometimes people will come to me and say they're hungry and they haven't eaten today and they would really like some food. And so I'll give them like $100 or $200 Liberian dollars. Now, just so you understand, $150 Liberian dollars is equal to $1 US dollar. And so when I give them $200, I basically gave them $1.30. Now, what is that to me? Like, that's nothing to me. Like, if you told me that someone stole $1.30 from my bank account, I would never notice. If someone came into my room and stole $1.30, I would probably never notice. Like, for most of us, we could probably find that amount of money underneath our car seat or our couch cushion. Like, that's nothing to us. But to that person, it's so much because that's food for the day. And so that person walks away and I'm feeling great about myself. Like, yeah, I just fed someone for the day. Like, you know, I just gave a lot to that person and they're so happy and I feel good about it. But did I actually give anything? Like, really, what is giving? Like, from an ethical perspective, like, just focusing on me now, not the person who I gave to, just focusing on me, what did I actually give? Like, did I actually sacrifice at all? And I think that is kind of the giving that I see a lot of Christians doing. It's kind of this mentality that says, first, I'm going to focus on myself and make sure all my needs are met and my family is taken care of. And I'm going to make sure that all of my insurance is paid for, my future is secure. And then once I have that, then I will give. And so some Christians who are wealthy can make sure that their lives are secure and then still give a lot. But that giving really isn't coming from a place of sacrifice. It's coming from a place of excess. Now, a lot of times I'll see celebrities, football players, actors, people like that who have a ton of money and give a lot of that money to charity. And so a lot of times people will praise them and talk about how much money they're giving. Like, this person gave $2 million to charity or something like that. And we say that like it's impressive. But when you really step back and look at it, it's really not that impressive. Like, from our perspective, yeah, like, we could never give millions of dollars to charity because, like, for us, we could never give millions of dollars to charity because we will never have that much money. Like, in 10 years, I'm not going to make as much money as this NFL quarterback gave to charity in one day. But when you look at it comparatively, from a percentage standpoint, it's really not that impressive. Like maybe that's 10% of their income, or maybe it's 20 or even 30%. But even then, think of how much money they still have. Like if someone donates $2 million, but they make $20 million in a year, that means they still have $18 million left over. And 10% of their money is not the same as 10% for someone who's poor. Like someone who's living paycheck to paycheck and donates 10% of their money, that is much more of a sacrifice because they have much less to give. And so these celebrities who donate millions of dollars, it's just not the same. And I think a lot of times we look at that and we talk about what great people they are. But in some ways, I think that's because we have kind of given into this me first Christianity that says you care for yourself first. What you own is yours to do with whatever you want. And if you give something away, that's extra. It focuses more on the amount given rather than the heart of the one who's giving. And now you might be looking at this and saying, okay, Corey, you're focusing too much on me as the giver and not the receiver. Because isn't that what's important, really? Like if I make $100 million a year, but I give $10 million to a charity, I've done a pretty good thing, right? I mean, that charity is going to flourish and I can look at kind of like the results of my giving. And if I stop focusing so much on myself and just focus on what the money's doing from more of a pragmatic perspective, I'd see that $10 million, even though it doesn't really like affect my lifestyle that much if I'm making $100 million, $10 million will still go a really long way in terms of a charity. I mean, just imagine what a charity could do with $10 million. And so you could look at this and say, Corey, you're focusing too much on the giver and not on what the money's actually doing. And I would say that a lot of the ethics that Jesus teaches are focused on the giver. I mean, look at what Jesus said about the widow who gave all she had compared to the other people who were only giving a small part of what they had. His focus was on the heart of the giver, and he wasn't really as much concerned with the number of what they gave. He was concerned with their heart and then how much of an actual sacrifice it was to give. So I don't think I'm off to focus on the giver. I think that Jesus did that too. Because the focus is not so much on the results of the giving from more of a pragmatic perspective. The focus is more on the heart of the one who's doing the giving. And I think that's really what Jesus is getting at when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because in that case, I would say that our treasure is on our security and our comfort. And then when we give, it kind of deceives ourselves. Like it's a kind of giving that makes us feel good. Like, yeah, I'm giving and I'm actually giving a lot. Especially when you look at who I'm giving to, man, that money goes a long way. And I feel good about myself because I'm giving a lot and I get to have my life. I get to keep my comforts and I get to keep everything I like about living in America and being wealthy and comfortable. And I think that Jesus is calling us to a more radical form of giving than that. And I'll also mention that within the early church, one of the things that they did is some of the members would actually sell themselves into slavery and then donate the money that they made from selling themselves into slavery to the poor. And I think that's a level of self-sacrifice that I just don't see in the church in America today. A level of sacrifice that says, I'm going to take the wealth and privilege that I have and then just give all of it away. Like in the end, I am no longer going to have the same life that I once had. My life is permanently going to be different for the purpose of helping someone else. I'm going to love others in the same way that I love myself. In fact, in some cases, I would say that they're loving others even more than they love themselves. And I think that is really what's missing in a lot of ways from the Christian culture in America. So I've talked about MTD in other episodes, or moralistic therapeutic deism. That was actually one of the first episodes I ever released. And the reason I did that is because MTD is kind of the foundation for what American Christianity is based on. And I believe that MTD comes from a business model church. And so those were the first two episodes I released. And I think I said in those episodes, I'd be going back to that a lot. And so episode 3 is the one where I define what moralistic therapeutic deism is. So if you'd like to listen more about that, go check out that episode. But for now, I'll just basically summarize it as God wants you to live a happy and comfortable life, and God exists to make sure that happens. So prayer, reading the Bible, doing devotions, going to church, all of those things collectively contribute to your happiness and you having a good life. God exists sort of as like a grandpa who just wants you to succeed and is there to help you along the way. And in a lot of ways, this particular passage is kind of the opposite of moralistic therapeutic deism, because at its core, MTD is focused on this life. Like, it takes the Christian message, which is one that inherently transcends this life. It's more of like this eternal perspective. And Jesus, in fact, talks about how there will be suffering in this life. And Paul also talks about how to live is Christ, but to die is gain, how there's something better waiting for us in the next life. But this life is probably going to be pretty hard, and it's going to have a lot of suffering. Moralistic therapeutic deism takes that message and it kind of flips it on its head, and it says, heaven is now. Now is your time to have a great life, and God is here to make that happen. And so what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, don't store up treasure on earth. Moralistic therapeutic deism says, store up treasure on earth. In fact, that's why you exist, and that's why God exists. So the sort of theology of American Christianity is turned on its head just by this one passage. And so it's understandable that this passage is going to have a lot of undoing. Like, a lot of American pastors are going to want to undo this because it flies right in the face of what we've always believed about Christianity and who we've always kind of taken Jesus to be. And who we've taken Jesus to be is someone who's more like therapeutic, like someone who's there just to make us feel good about ourselves and to have a good life. And that's definitely not the message here that he's communicating. And I mean, I would say that this American Christianity, basically what it does is it takes the teaching of love your neighbor as yourself and it modifies it. It doesn't completely reverse it, but it changes it a little bit. It adds a qualifier. And that qualifier is love your neighbor once you have loved yourself. So once you have loved yourself enough, once you've taken care of yourself, and once you've met all of your needs and usually wants, now it's time to turn around and help other people and love them. So this sort of like radical call to loving others as ourself is diluted to loving others once we have sufficiently loved ourselves. And now look, there is wisdom in that. It is good to take care of yourself. And I'm not saying that taking care of yourself is bad. I think that in some ways, sort of the more conservative sides of Christianity really overreact to the culture of self-care. And they almost make it like taking care of yourself is a bad thing or being happy is a bad thing. And it's not. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I think we kind of overdo it sometimes. Like, I think that a lot of American Christians assume that they need a lot more than they do, or they just refuse to admit that they don't need a lot of the things that they have because they're caring for themselves more than they're caring for their neighbors. Not as themselves, but once they have sufficiently cared for themselves and their needs and desires. And so that's sort of this me first Christianity. It's like, I'm first, I come first, and then my neighbor. So it's not like we've ignored Jesus's command and just forgotten to love our neighbor. It's just that we've only loved our neighbor once we have loved ourselves. And so my main point is we've just kind of added that in there. And I don't think that belongs there. I think that what Jesus is saying is true. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think this kind of like me first American Christianity doesn't really consider that to be of utmost importance. And I mean, when you think about it, like this idea, this kind of like me first idea is kind of ingrained in the American culture. Like it goes beyond the church, it goes beyond Christianity. And this is kind of like part of the founding of America, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Like you are here, you exist to be happy. That is moralistic therapeutic deism. God exists to make you happy, and that is the purpose of your life, is to be happy and comfortable. And that kind of is part of the American dream, right? Like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's why you're here, to pursue happiness. And look, again, this is not a bad thing. Like you could definitely have a worse slogan than that. I mean, you could have death, bondage, and the pursuit of misery, and that would be an objectively worse slogan for your country. So I'm not saying it's entirely bad, and I'm not saying it's the opposite of what Jesus is saying, but what I am saying is that what Jesus is saying, I think, is different. Because for Jesus, the focus is not as much on this life. The purpose, the point of what he's saying is focus on the next life. Look to the next life and the treasure that you have stored up there. Don't place your hope in this life. Don't place your value in this life, because what you have can break. Moths can eat it. Thieves can break in and steal it. Fire can burn it down. It can fall out of your hand and crack on the pavement, and then you'll have to get a new screen. I mean, what Jesus is saying is that our hope, our treasure should not be in this life. And I think that the American dream kind of teaches us to put our treasure in this life. That's the point. And so I think that is kind of like baked into our cultural DNA so much so that we often don't question it. Like, is me looking way to my future and placing security and hope in that future, in retirement or investments that I've made or in the insurance that I have, is that actually in some ways going against the command of Jesus? Now, there is wisdom in security. Like, that's one thing that American culture is good at, is looking to the future. And I live in an impoverished culture right now, and it's the literal opposite of that. It is today I'm going to get food. And for a lot of people who are living in poverty, they don't think about the future. And so me as an American, I bring in that mindset and try to help them think more about like investments that they're making long term, because that is a good and healthy mindset to have. It helps you out of poverty in a lot of ways. But I think in America, we can really overdo that sometimes, so much so that we put our hope, in other words, we put our treasure in the future. And I think that's where we are disobeying what Jesus is saying. It's not that preparing for the future is bad. Placing your hope and security in the future is bad. And that can lead to a lot of anxiety because you've placed your hope in something that you know can fall apart. Like, that's going to make you anxious. And I'm not saying all anxiety comes from this, but I think to some degree, there are some people who are anxious because they have placed their treasure on this earth. They have placed their hope in things on this earth. And it is really unsettling to have your hope based on something that can fail you, all the while knowing that at the end, you're going to die anyways and lose it. So there really is no true security on this earth. And so, like, I do think that can cause a lot of anxiety. And so it's not just that Jesus is teaching us what we should do, but I think he's showing us how to be happy. And I believe that's really what he's getting at. And look, just so you don't think I'm just like judging you and preaching at you, I struggle with this too. And the way that I struggle with it is I often think of my life as a missionary in terms of something that is temporary. Like, I'm going to be here for a time, I'm going to sacrifice, but ultimately, when it's all over, I'm going to go back to my life in America and kind of like live out the rest of my life in comfort and security. And I think that's a really common mindset on the mission field, is a lot of missionaries come here and it's more like a job. It's more like a thing you do for a while, and you give, like, you definitely do sacrifice a lot. You sacrifice time with family, you sacrifice a lot of comforts, and you sacrifice money that you could be making in another job. But when it's all over, you get to go back home, you have your retirement, you have your insurance and things like that, where it's like you're sacrificing, but you still have all those protections in place to protect the comfortable Western lifestyle that you were living before you came to the mission field. And so for me, that's where like I really struggle, because I can feel myself kind of doing that sometimes. And I ask myself the question, am I really giving? Like, if in the end, if when it's all said and done, I get to go back to the wealth and privilege that I already had before, have I actually given anything? Is my treasure actually in heaven and the sacrifices I'm making on earth? Or is my treasure in the comfortable and nice Western lifestyle that I was living? Like, is that too much for me to give? Like, is Jesus calling me to actually give in such a way that I basically trade places with the people I'm serving and give to them the comforts and security that I enjoyed for most of my life? And then in turn, I risk my life and I risk the things that I have and I risk losing everything. Like, is it even possible for me to switch places with these people in such a way that I no longer have access to the wealth and comfort and security that I once enjoyed? And as I ask myself these questions, I feel like I'm actually beginning to get at the heart of what Jesus is teaching. But the reason I say that I feel like I'm actually getting more to the heart of Jesus as I think through these things is because as I'm thinking through this, as I'm wrestling with it and struggling with it, I become disappointed because Jesus is not the person I want him to be, and I become more confused than when I first started. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the work that we do in Liberia, feel free to visit standingsidebyside.org. If you'd like to make a donation, there's a donate tab on that page, or you can just Venmo at standingsidebyside. If you've been affected by these podcasts and you want to connect, feel free to reach out to me. My Instagram is pod.pancake. That's pa.pancake. Don't ask. It's my nickname here. Feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear your story. And I would just love to connect to you in a more personal way. Making these episodes really helps me, and I pray that they've helped you as well. Thank you so much for listening. Keep the faith.